today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Do you believe that Jesus is who He says He is? That He can do everything He says He can do? Is your life totally in His care and His trust? Because it'll calm you down. You'll stop trying to control things. You'll be able to let go. And you say, look, I just want to yield myself to You. Lord, no, you don't have to tuck yourself in my back pocket and be at my beck and call. Just say it, Lord. I just want to be in Your presence. Just You commission me and I will trust You.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
In today's teaching, Pastor Troy will be asking you this question. Do you believe that God can do all that He says in His Word that He can do? If your answer to this question is yes, do your actions reflect that you believe this? Jesus was pleased by the faith of the centurion. He desires to be pleased with you. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 verse 4 as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled Jesus is Lord, the God who heals.
The crowds were gathering for healing. And that's, though He was doing that, and though that was a sign of showing who He was, it wasn't what He came to kind of do. Otherwise, He would have come down, healed everyone on earth, and left. But that wasn't His primary goal. Two, He knew that the opposition would increase the more famous He became too fast. So He had a lot more ministering to do. Don't tell anyone. Just go to the priest. Check in with them because that was the law. They need to see that your leprosy has been cleansed. And then He knew that the people would try to elevate Him. In fact, in other Gospels, later on, we see that the people are coming after Him to elevate Him and make Him king over them. Like, we want this guy to be the king over us. Let's make Him a king. So to avoid all of that, He's just saying, look, I've got a mission here and I'm authenticating myself. Go show yourself to the priest and be called cleansed. So He sends him to the priest. And as He sends him to the priest, it's almost like sending a calling card. Because the priest should have, by this man showing up with healed leprosy, just didn't go away. Not real leprosy. God healed people of leprosy. So when this guy shows up with cleansed leprosy, gone, it's gone, healed of leprosy, the priest should have gone, God has been active. But they don't. Instead, they don't like this Jesus guy. They don't like what He's doing. They end up going, this guy's defiling the Sabbath. This guy's healing when he shouldn't, probably touching unclean people, hanging with sinners. Even to this day, they look back to Him as a man who messed up society. He came in and He hung out with drunkards and sinners, and just like what the Bible says. This is this tradition that's been passed down into some of the rigid Jewish homes. And so they don't look upon Him favorably. But Jesus sends His business card over to the priesthood. And now, verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him pleading with Him. Came to Jesus pleading. This isn't even a Jew now. This is a Roman centurion. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that You should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to those who followed Him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And the servant was healed that same hour. centurion approaches Jesus. A centurion was a soldier who was given charge over about 100 soldiers. That's the century, a centurion. And so he was a man who had a charge of a lot of people. He was a very noble, very large person as far as Rome was concerned. But they were also all to have good character, to be noble individuals. In fact, whenever you see a centurion mentioned in the scriptures, it's usually in a favorable light. These were men of great, upstanding character. But why does Jesus marvel at this man's faith? It's like Jesus, well, look at this guy. Not seen so much faith, not even in Israel. Well, one, because Israel should have had great faith. They were supposed to be the ones looking for him. Yet they're in the process of missing him. And yet this Roman centurion, not having the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, has heard about this God, has heard about Jesus, and he comes to him and he says, Lord. He calls him Lord. What this centurion does is that impresses Jesus or causes Jesus to acknowledge his faith is not his humility. Some think, oh, look, don't even come to my house, Lord. I think Jesus is repulsed by this false humility. Hell, I'll come to your home. Oh, no, I don't do that. All right, just stop it. Jesus isn't impressed with a false humility. What Jesus is impressed with is how this man understood who he was and the authority he had. That's the point here. The authority of Jesus. The man talks about authority. I understand authority. I say to people, go and do this and do that, and they do it and it gets done. So what I'm saying to you, Jesus, is I believe you have that kind of authority that you just say it and it happens. I know you don't have to go there. In fact, as a Roman centurion, he would have been a man under authority himself. So when Caesar spoke, he listened. And when he said, his words were as authoritative as Caesar's himself. And it seems that this Roman centurion understood, calling him Lord, that this man he was before had that kind of authority from God. That it was God's authority. When he spoke, it was God's word. You have this kind of authority. So you don't even have to come, just say the word. And Jesus says, basically, I'm impressed. Now that's faith. That's what I'm talking about. It's a shame because he's going to be in the boat with his disciples and they're going to be scared to death because of a storm. And he's going to look to them and go, where's your faith? Didn't you see the Roman centurion? And yet they're cowering down. Lord, don't you even care that we're going down? Where's your faith? It's a question we could all ask ourselves. Where is our faith when difficult times come? Is it in the Lord? Can you calm down and trust that He's sovereign and in control? That He's in control? That the boat's not going to sink? You're going to be okay? See, what Jesus is saying here, because He also says the sons of the kingdom, He's speaking of Israel who should have been ready and prepared. He's contrasting faith with heritage. He's saying heritage doesn't get you into the kingdom of heaven. Faith does. Because there will be many sons of the kingdom who are in that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Salvation is a thing of faith. We must put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the followers must have gasped when Jesus said that about the sons of the kingdom. Oh, dare! I mean, Jesus wasn't making a lot of Jewish friends, you know, in the Jewish hierarchy, but he was speaking truth. Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? That he can do everything he says he can do? Is your life totally in his care and his trust? Because it'll calm you down. You'll stop trying to control things. You'll be able to let go And you say, look, I just want to yield myself to you. Lord, no, you don't have to tuck yourself in my back pocket and be at my beck and call. Just say it, Lord. I just want to be in your presence. Just you commission me and I will trust you. Can you have that kind of faith to trust him? Because that kind of faith, let me just say, is a faith that produces fruit. In other words, it's a real faith. To just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Go with me, Jesus. Come here, boy. Come on, Jesus. Is not a saving faith. Jesus isn't at your beck and call. You don't say, I'm going to go wherever I want. Bless this, Jesus. Bless that, Jesus. He has sovereign authority. So we seek him and we submit ourselves to him. The fix to your problems in life, though they may not seem like it, are a direct result of your willingness to submit yourself to the authority of Christ. His word alone will heal you. But here's the problem. He doesn't necessarily go away, divorce. Go away, pride. No, very often what he does is he says, well, I want you to do this. Or I'm going to put this leader over you. I'm going to humble you in this way. I'm going to do this in your life. So submit yourself to me. Trust me. Follow me. And as a result of that process, healing comes. Marriages are transformed. We let God do the work, but we must have this Roman centurion's kind of faith. We got to trust him and let him be Lord. Jesus wants to do so much in your life, but you have to respond to him by faith. Trust him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Great faith demonstrated here by this Roman centurion. In verse 14, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, this is Peter, the apostle. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with fever. We'll talk about this in a moment, but I just want it clear. This is Peter's wife's mother. Peter the apostle has a wife. Otherwise, his wife wouldn't have a mother. Okay? So, he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled. Again, Matthew is showing us this is the Messiah, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Go back to that point about Peter having a wife. I say this because there is a wrong teaching about how the papacy got started. And they say that Peter was the first pope. He was celibate. He didn't have a wife. And he was the first leader in the church. Peter, first of all, was not the first leader in the church. As you read the books, it was James who actually had more authority in making decisions in the early church. But also Peter, pope or not, had a wife. And so he didn't meet the criteria for a pope. Unmarried. I mean, he was holy, set apart for the Lord, but he was not unmarried or celibate. And so, we need to know our Bibles. Because in there is truth. And it's very easy to see. There is no human being right now on earth, no human being that we must go to. There's no voice of God that when they speak, that's the voice of God. There is, I'm trying to walk real light here. Let's just say that God speaks directly to his people now. He can confirm things through people. But there are no men, there are no 12 apostles running around now who, we're the true church because we have the 12 apostles. Well, goodness gracious, I could select two of you and slap the title apostle on you and go out preaching to everybody. We're the true church too. There are 12 apostles, the foundation of the church. We're being built upon the doctrine that God spoke through their lives. There are no more. So today we have the Word of God and it speaks to us. There's no need for middlemen. to speak. And for the sake of time, we need to move on, thank God. He quotes the prophet because he's doing what is prophesied and proves that his ministry is that of the Messiah. In Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist sends some disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that was sent or not? Because John the Baptist was unclear about all. I mean, he was just doing what God wanted him to do. He didn't have the full picture. So he was also looking for that kingdom to be established, but Jesus wasn't establishing that kingdom yet. Because John the Baptist came in, his winnowing fork, he's coming and he's doing this. True, but not at this exact time was he going to do all of that. It's kind of like he's doing this much, stop here, and then the rest will be done later. So John sends a delegate of people, says, ask him, because I'm about to be killed. Is he the one or not? And Jesus sends the delegate back, says, hey, look, tell John, the blind see, the lame are walking. That I'm fulfilling the prophecy. And that was enough for John, who would be beheaded and enter that place of glory after serving the Lord. But Jesus came not yet to make the world perfect, but to show the world in a real way what he came to do in a spiritual manner. And that is, I came to heal the world. But I'm not here to just physically heal the world. Not right now, or all sickness and disease would be gone. Because his blood, having atoned for that, would have done away with all of that. But we still experience those things. But Jesus came to show his authority over sickness and death and everything else, so that when we, by faith, follow him, we would know we follow the one who has the authority to take us to heaven. So we have faith in the one who can do anything he wants. He's here to seek and to save the lost right now. Jesus is willing to heal. You may feel unworthy, but all you have to do is trust him and follow him. Trust him. Some of the stands that you will take, some of the things that he'll ask you to do are difficult according to your nature. According to, you know, I spoke of my son this past Wednesday, and he was supposed to, I told him that he could only have so much candy, and this lady she was a pusher, a candy pusher. So she was trying to give him the candy. And I was talking to someone else, and because he ended up with more candy, she had heard me tell him he could only have like 3 pieces, one for each of his sisters and himself. And yet he ended up with more candy than he was supposed to. And I told him, Joshua, you were only supposed to listen to me. I mean, you got to take a stand and say the right thing. My dad said, and I need to honor him. That's the biblical thing. You know, don't blame the woman. You had a choice there in it. So there are times, and he said to me, Dad, I'm shy. Like that was an excuse. We'll use any excuse when our desire's for the candy more than honoring God, right? We'll always use an excuse, an out. But God asks us to stop using outs. Stop making excuses. There are none. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's no excuse. So take the stands. And if you will do those, then and only then will your life begin to change. Then you will have what we call faith. The kind of faith that Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. That's the faith that heals. The faith that will trust God. He's willing to heal. In fact, he's waiting to heal. Because he's waiting for you to have the faith to trust him. And submit yourself to him. In Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you, dine with you, and you with me. He also wants to heal. His desire is to bring your life out of this place of chaos and destruction and a poor marriage and bad decision making and all of that. And to get you on a place where you have sure ground and to heal all of those areas of your life. He wants to. It goes all the way back to the fall of man. Man fell. And because of that, Israel has been looking for this Messiah. The whole reason Matthew's preaching about this Messiah is because there was somebody they were looking for because man fell. And Jesus is that Messiah. Because of the fall of man, who's come to right things, to fix things, to set things in the right order. John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What we don't realize is our lives get in a mess because we make decisions separated from the Lord. What Eve was deceived with back in the garden was this idea of lordship. Look at the fruit. And ultimately he said, you will be as God, knowing good and evil. We take that and we interpret that. And what that would mean for her is, I could decide for myself good and evil, right and wrong. I'll be like God. I won't need his authority, his governorship. I can decide myself. And since we've been doing that, we have made messes. Some are a little bit better at doing it than others. They follow the world system better than others. We gain their riches by following that system. We do all these things by following, get the right girl by following the system. How do you do it? You got to go to this club, not these clubs. These are not good clubs. This club. And we can find, go to church, get the girl at the church. We know how to follow systems, worldly systems. But Jesus wants to get you out of a mess so that you stop manipulating. You stop working the world systems and getting lost in it. He wants your life to be lived abundantly. Genuinely, abundantly. You can be filled and complete with little to no money. Did you know that? I know it's hard to believe today, but you can. You don't need it. We just need God to provide for us. We just need to submit ourselves to Him and watch Him provide for us. And He can do such great things with our lives. There was a man who was in an accident. True story. And it was a bad accident, ended up mangling the bottom portion of his leg so that he had to have his leg amputated at about the thigh. And as he was recovering in the hospital, he was being talked to by a minister. And this minister was asking him how he was doing, and he goes, you know what is so strange? He said, is I have this excruciating pain in my foot. He goes, oh, do you need some help? He goes, no, it's in the foot that's not there anymore. Phantom pain. Like my brain still thinks it's there. And it's not there. It's gone. And I feel this pain as a result of it. Did you know that every human being has a pain, a longing? We've been spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead. So we don't realize there's just something we're missing. But even though we don't realize we're missing it, we have a pain there. It's there. You can't deny it. I'm not making it up. You have it. There's a longing. We're looking for something. Something that will satisfy. We're chasing something. Is it a relationship? Is it this? Maybe it's in drugs and that high. It's somewhere. And what it's found in is simply trusting, believing, and following God, putting Him back in the place of lordship. Not living like the fall, where I can decide for myself right and wrong. I just make messes that way, but trusting Him. And that's where our healing is. Some of it miraculously, others we're going to walk through some consequences and some difficult trials. But we are on our way to healing if we'll trust Him. Jesus is Lord, the God who heals. We just need to put ourselves in His hands.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church. then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.